Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. My name is Keith Nethery, the rector of the parish. I'm by myself today. The Reverend Hannah Score is currently on vacation for the next couple of weeks. As always, we have a full music team with us. Steve Hollowitz, our director of music, and our music team today, Victoria Piovison and Paul Grambo. At the soundboard, John Gardy. On Wednesday this week, we will be having an in-person worship service. Our Wednesday morning group wants to be here in the church, so that is an offer to anybody else who would like to come along at 10 o'clock. If you do come, come in the Bruce Street entrance and follow along with all the social distancing and masking and all the other COVID-19 protocols. Our Sunday school videos are taking a break for the summer as well, just so you know. Let's take a moment. Settle ourselves. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, has taught us that what we do for the least of your children, we do also for him. Give us the will to serve others as he was the servant of all who gave up his life and died for us, but lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. A reading from 2 Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, the thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. Your power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
I see the love of God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joses, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. He was amazed at their utter unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For the second week in a row, the writer of Luke's Gospel gives us a two-for-one story. Now, it's not nearly as integrated and interwoven as last week's tale of the young daughter of Jairus, who was a member of the synagogue staff, an official in the Jewish religion, and also a woman who suffered hemorrhages, probably a Gentile, and depending on what the nature of that illness was, could have been considered unclean. That was quite a stark contrast, and Luke really wove those two stories together in a way to make them kind of bounce off each other so that we can see them. Today, the two stories are back to back. They're not interwoven, but they still create an interesting dynamic and dichotomy as they call us to see a rather jarring understanding of how things work. Jesus in his own hometown. Now, Mark doesn't outline it clearly for us, whether they're being jealous of Jesus for not believing, whether some might have had a bit of a history with his family, or whether it was just they didn't feel that they needed to believe in him, that he wasn't the right person, that they didn't want to follow this person that they knew from amidst them. And Jesus is surprised that he can't get through to them with a simple message of love and healing. Then all the other villages, and we're not talking miles and miles, we're not talking about a world tour, we're talking villages that would be at the most a couple of miles apart. As he sends the disciples out, and as he goes out into those places, there is healing. There is belief. And Jesus tells them, "Someone won't welcome you. When it comes time to leave, just leave. Dust the sand off your feet and walk away from it." So there is a real jarring understanding there. I'm not sure whether I can make a great connection, but it is similar in nature to the feelings that I had this past Thursday as we mark Canada Day. I was no less proud to be a Canadian this year than last year or the year before or 10 years before that. But I was certainly much less willing to celebrate. Instead, wanting to be much more introspective, to think about what is going on now involving our indigenous people. Hundreds of unmarked graves found at residential schools, bringing back the pain and the hurt that they suffered, abuse, physical and sexual violence, the survivors having to remember seeing friends die and knowing that they were buried without a marker on their grave. As I've told you before, I've talked to residential school survivors. I've seen the tears as they tell their stories. I not only believe, I know their stories to be true. It's not written in our history books necessarily. And so, yes, we had to very carefully walk our way through Canada Day. Now, it's an arbitrary date to celebrate our country, but we need to bring it together rather than to take it apart. None of us go through life without doing things that we wish had never happened. All of us go through life sometimes doing things very well, perhaps getting more credit and praise than we could possibly desire. It's the nature of being human. There's a long history in this place. Turtle Island, as our indigenous people call it. We can't ignore history. We can't claim special privilege. But we walk a journey that's not unlike what the author of Mark's Gospel has been trying to show us for the last couple of weeks. Connecting stories together. Connecting stories that may hurt. What's happened in residential schools has hurt our indigenous communities terribly, not just at the moment of the abuse and the violence, but the loss of culture, the loss of language, the loss of understanding of who they are and where they came from. We can't get past that. We need to put the two stories together. And in putting the stories together of this country, we will be forced to walk together, which is the way God always intended it. So it shouldn't have to be forced, but by circumstances, we will all come together. You see, that's the thing for me on Canada Day. I still wanted to be proud of being a Canadian. This country has done some wonderful things at home and on the world stage. But we can't have a pass on our negative history. We have to live up to our end of the bargain. We're appalled at what the early leaders of our country did. We can't understand how they thought it was right. We are frustrated and confused that many have chosen to keep that history quiet and hidden. For we are called to walk together with all people, all of God's people. So what I hope we can do today and every day is to put these two stories together. You know, sometimes stories don't seem to go together. The story of Jesus being rejected in his hometown but being able to do miracles in every other village around just doesn't seem to connect. The story of a little girl and a woman who had been sick for a long time, one the child of a high official, the other someone that snuck up to receive healing. They don't seem to fit together until we understand that we are called to always be together. When we put these two stories together, and we are honest and loving and caring with each other, we find a path to healing and wholeness for us all. Take the opportunity to learn our indigenous history. Take the opportunity to read, to watch, to talk. When you find the opportunity to sit and listen, to sit alongside those in our indigenous communities, listen to their story. Listen to who they are. Because like all people, like every Canadian, there are stories that are good and not so good. There are times of shaking the dust off the feet, times of being welcomed. There are times of healing, times of communion, and times that things just don't work. That's the reality of who we are as human beings. So yes, I think it was a good idea that we didn't have major celebrations of Canada Day. Everything was somewhat muted. That's fine. I think it is important that several thousand people gathered in downtown London. Many more thousands in other parts of this country. It can't be one day. It can't be one week, one month, one year. It has to be about the relationship, the broken relationship, broken by violence, the taking away of culture at all times. The Creator tells us to heal and be reconciled. That's the long-term work. It's hard work, but it's the work that we have to do. It's the work that Jesus did. At a time of great difficulty, a time of great violence in this world, Jesus came and dwelt among us and showed us how to come together. I pray that we as Canadians, all Canadians, will take that message to heart. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Let us pray. God has drawn us down many different routes to share worship today. Let us be still in our bodies, alert in our minds, and may our hearts be in God's presence. Holy God, we are the body of Christ because your Spirit binds us together with your life. Give us real concern and love for one another, supportive and encouraging, so that we can be sent out strong in our weakness and littleness. Holy God, all the kingdoms and states are answerable to your authority, and much evil is still allowed to flourish through the silence of good people. Give us all the courage to speak out your truth, whether it is popular or not. Holy God, be in all our listening, at home, on the phone, at school, at work. May we give our full attention to you and to one another, happy to grow wiser through each and every conversation. Holy God, we pray for those whose pain screams silently and incessantly, for those who have had no one to confide in, no one to listen to them. We pray for your love to enfold them, your peace to calm them, and your healing to transform them. Holy God, prepare us all during this life for the life to come. We commend to your keeping all those who have recently made their journey through death. Holy God, we thank you for making your ways known to us and guiding us in your truth. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, those that you love, and those that love you, this day and forevermore. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Around thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest fade. rest, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father and our Mother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy.